You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Thanks for joining us. Oh, look at this. I'm drinking a Hint water. And, you know, they're not even a sponsor. They don't give me money, but I like their water and they give me free water and I deliciously eat it. I eat it deliciously.
They should give you some money.
Why?
Because you are stocked up on this stuff.
That's true. Everybody comes over, like, can I have a Hint water? I'm like, sure, man. You can have a Hint water.
As far as I know, you're the only distributor of Hint water.
I'm thirsty. Is that a Hint water?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're good. Thank you, Hint, for always giving me free water. I hope everybody had a glorious weekend, and I can't believe we're almost into March now, Ryan, and we're all waiting for the vaccine. We're all waiting for this to be over. We're trying to force it over.
Yeah.
I had my moment last week, boy.
Yeah.
I think if you listen to the podcast from last week, I listened to the intro, actually, and I was just like, oh, yeah, you were a bit not off my game. If anything, I was on my game because I was talking about my mental illness. You get frustrated. You get tired. You get just the anxiety kind of kicks in. And this has been a bit better this last weekend. I sort of got away. Rob and I went to Joshua Tree.
Nice.
Rob, my guitarist for the band Sunspin. We drove up there and we got a place, and just this little place. It was like the Pioneer Motel. Cute little place, and we just hiked and went through a little western town and just disconnected. And I'm telling you, just to get out of town did something for my mental health. Just to get away from the norm, the redundancy of life that we just, it's every day you do the same thing. And if you just keep doing that, it's going to drive you crazy.
Yeah. My sister just went to Joshua Tree too.
Was it her first time there?
I think so. She has a dog. She and her boyfriend have a dog. And so they went to an RV park.
RV park before.
So they're just like out in the desert, just sort of out. And so it looked nice. It does look nice.
I saw my first first shooting star. I'd never seen a shooting star, and I looked up in the sky at night at Joshua Tree for the very first night. I go, oh, it's a shooting star. And Rob's like, you've never seen a shooting star. I'm like, no.
I think if you see a shooting star, you have to say it in that accent.
It's a shooting star. I loved it, man. It was a nice escape. I need to get out more. I need to do things, you know, and we wore masks and shit. So that was good. Thank you guys for everything. By the way, the Sunspin album is out. Look, CDs, you can get this awesome CD at sunspin.com, along with tons of awesome merch like lunch boxes and stone coasters and hats, trucker hats. I got my trucker hat here. That was the dilemma this morning. I was like, Ryan, should I wear the trucker hat or not? And you're like, he's like, I don't care. You know, either way, I don't care. Either way, I'm getting paid the same amount of money. Oh, another thing, if we sent merch out for Sunspin, and if you get the lunchbox, if you got a lunchbox, if you make a video of yourself opening the lunchbox and make it the most original and post it on all posts, Instagrams, Twitter, and Facebook, Rob and I will choose the person we thought was the most creative, and we'll do a Zoom with you. So when you get your lunchboxes, make it creative. And we'll probably do that contest in a week or so, maybe a week or two. But it's starting now. So when you get that lunchbox, the Sunspin lunchbox, which is available on sunspin.com. So thank you, everybody, for coming out to stage it to this last weekend. It was a big show, one of our biggest. And if you've never been, we do the last Saturday of every month. So we did Saturday, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., two shows. We did, Ryan, we played like Aha. Take on me.
Did you do acoustic style?
Yeah, like acoustic style. Nice. We did. What else did we do? Some Talking Heads. Home is where I want to be. But we did a bunch of stuff, but a bunch of stuff from the album. And I urge you to go to sunspin.com and check out our album. We're also available on iTunes right now, but you have to get it off your computer to get this downloads and all that jazz. So yeah, the CD, it's fun to have something tangible that you can go, hey, look, I worked very hard for this.
That's cool. I didn't know you made
people still buy CDs. We've already sold like 100 CDs.
You have vinyl too?
We're thinking about getting vinyl, more of a keepsake thing.
Mm.
But thanks again for tuning in. Last week was a really fun episode with Katie Cassidy, and we had Michael Cudlitz from The Walking Dead the week before. We've got a very special guest. He's been on the podcast a few times, but he always has so much information. And this time around, I feel like he was more open. There was just more of a vulnerability to Zach, if you could even say that, because he's a vulnerable, down-to-earth man. And I consider him a real good friend, and he's a listener, and I love having him on. It gives me a chance to breathe a little bit and see that there are people that are going through the same shit. And him, you know, when he talks about the medications that he's on and what works for him, and it's just so open. You don't see a lot of people do that. And that's just, it's just, I really respect that. And it helps a lot of the listeners that are listening go, hey, this guy who's Shazam, he's got problems too. And that's the whole point. So I urge you guys also, if you can, I always say it, but it really helps if you take a minute out to write a review on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen, please subscribe and please invite many friends to listen. It's word of mouth that really gets the podcast growing and growing. And it's a very specific podcast that we talk about. You know, this is we talk about adversity and stress and life, and it's really a candid conversation. So I don't think there are a lot like this, and that's a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing for, you know, for the world, I guess, and people listening, but also people, you know, there's so many choices out there. So I'm glad that I'm your choice, at least for now. So thank you for that. And where can they subscribe to the podcast, Ryan?
On youtube.com/insideofyou with Michael Rosenbaum. And then there's also follow ability. I started that sentence and I didn't know how to end it. At Inside of You Pod on the Twitters and at Inside of You Podcast on Instagram and Facebook.
Yes. Yeah. I like that. I hope you continue to listen and join Patreon. My Patreon family is growing and growing, and we do a lot of great things. In fact, I just bought, if you've been a patron for a year, I made shirts for those top tiers who have been there since the inception of Patreon, which I didn't know what the hell was when I first started. But if you want to get closer to the podcast, a little closer to me, a little, you know, we have our barriers, but I talk to a lot of folks there, and it's a wonderful, wonderful platform. So go to patreon.com/insideofyou. Patreon.com/insideofyou. I think that's what it is. It is. So look, without further ado, I think let's get inside a guy who's constantly working, who is an inspiration to a lot of people, including myself. He got me into a great place, which cleared my head for a while, and might have to go back. But let's get inside of my good buddy, Zach Levi.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
How deep is your love? How deep is
harmonized?
Your love I really need to know. Cause we're
running just as fast as we can. And
that's not how it goes. We're running just as fast. You jumped into Tiffany. How did you
what
do
are the words?
You're going, running just as fast as we can.
No. What are the words of the
how deep is your love? I go,
how deep is your love? How deep is your love? I really need to know. Cause we're living in a world of fools. Breaking us down.
Is that Marina Baccarin in the back?
I believe in you.
Is that Marina Baccarin over your left shoulder?
It kind of does look like a Marina, but no, it's just some random piece of art in this house that I'm staying in.
What? Whose house are you in?
I'm in a rental house in Oklahoma City.
Because you're filming, what are you filming?
Well, I was filming a movie called The Unbreakable Boy, and we finished that, and then I went home for the holidays for a couple of weeks, and then I'm coming back, and basically with like 50% of the same crew, we're about to shoot this movie, American Underdog, which is the Kurt Warner football quarterback biopic.
Right, you're Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Have you been practicing?
Oh, yeah.
Can you throw a football?
I can throw a football pretty well. I mean, I don't know that I throw it as good as Kurt Warner, but you know.
Jeez Louise.
You know, when you throw that good, you play in the NFL.
That's true.
But, I've been doing a lot of like strength and conditioning training all through, like once I got to Oklahoma, I started training, and all through shooting the last film, I was doing that. And also some QB training. Even before I came to Oklahoma, I had a QB coach who's now here in Oklahoma with me, and we're going to be running drills and, you know, just getting form down and making sure, not even just how to throw a football well, or, you know, what it means to be a quarterback, but specifically to emulate Kurt as best I can. And so, you know, he, my quarterback coach, is kind of breaking down the various things that, you know, Kurt would do.
The way he steps back in the pocket, the way he kind of bounces, the way whatever it is.
How you hold the ball, how you move with the ball, how your head's moving. Do you move your head at all? And unfortunately, I was even able to, in this little holiday break, I was able to, I road tripped, me and my girlfriend road tripped from LA to Phoenix. And I was able to go hang out with Kurt Warner and his family for a couple of days and just absorb them and their dynamic and their.
You really hung out with Kurt Warner for a few days, like at his house?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that bizarre? Is that like John Biner? Remember John Biner?
Bizarre. It was super bizarre. Wow. I've never really done, I you know, like the Unbreakable Boy that I did prior to this is kind of a biopic in that it's about a real family, and I was representing and I was playing the husband and father in this real family. But he and I looked very different in real life. And, you know, the movie has a lot of, it takes a lot of, not a lot of, but I mean, it takes enough of our artistic liberty to kind of, you know, create it and weave it all together in the way that those things typically do. And no one's going to be, I you know, the public scrutiny isn't looking at me and this other gentleman, Scott Lorette, his name.
Right.
Nobody's being like, wait a minute, but everybody knows Kurt Warner. So there's a whole nother level of scrutiny that you're under when you're representing being someone that is so well known and famous, I think.
You know? Well, look, as someone who, you know, I know sports, I play football. I could actually throw the ball. I'm not bullshit. And I could throw, you know, I have videos of me throwing a ball. I could throw a freaking football. I mean, I'm telling you, obviously nobody's, you know, Kurt Warner level. I mean, you know, Tom Brady, but like Kurt Warner, what is interesting about, if I don't know anything about football, why would I go see a Kurt Warner? What is the catch?
That's a great question. Yeah. I mean,
what's it interesting? What's the story like in a nutshell? Don't break it down, but just in a nutshell.
The movie's not really about the football. The football is the packaging in that, like, it's an incredible rags to riches Cinderella story. And the NFL is one of the most insane places that ever try and make that thing happen. But it's 25% football, 75% the real life journey of Kurt and Brenda and her kids. And it's beautiful.
I love it.
It's got so much heart and so much faith. And it just is. It's a very
uplifting.
Yeah. Uplifting, humbling, encouraging story.
We need, you know, that.
And I think we need more of that all the time.
Oh my God. I need more of it. You know,
so that's that.
I love it, buddy. We were talking like a couple of months ago, and I know we were both like struggling a little bit, and we get into these struggles. I mean, we, as in everyone listening, we all get into these modes of like, you know, where we see the light at the end of the tunnel and then all of a sudden it goes dark again. And you're like, what just happened, man? I thought things were going well. My mind's not, like, for instance, me, you know, I kind of tried some meds out just to kind of balance me, nothing major, but it's kind of messed with me a little bit. You know, it's like, I told Ryan today, my engineer, I'm like, I'm just dizzy, a little lightheaded, you know, and my therapist seems to think it's like, you know, the antibiotics that I'm taking. And he thinks it's throwing it off, and just to give it a few days. But talk about not sleeping. I have a little insomnia now. I'm like, it's just like, and to try and get to a normal, and a lot of people will say, well, try nothing. Well, I've tried nothing. And now I'm trying a little something to see if this little something will help me feel normal, because the normal that I feel, I don't necessarily love. And I'd like to feel some semblance of normalcy. So, you know, I know we were both struggling a little bit, and I get into these areas, and that's hence why I wanted to try something and go, hey, you know what? I want to try something, a little something, and see if it gives me a little bit of help. And I know you've done that too, and I know you've been working on yourself, but what have you been doing? Because I know work is your therapy, and it kind of detaches you or maybe connects you. So what do you do?
Well, so yeah, man, so many things to unpack.
I know. I didn't know where to start. So I was like,
No, it's perfect.
What do you want to get into?
The way our conversations go, it's all going to tangent and get, eventually we'll cover everything. So
yeah, true.
So yeah. So, well, one of the things that, for people who are at home or in their car or wherever you're listening to or watching this podcast, this is now the third of the Michael and Zach sessions. Yeah. Number three was supposed to be in Texas, where I was going to interview Michael. And then we were also going to do a live Inside of You on a stage there.
But the pandemic happened.
And then pandemic happened and all that stuff.
Two sold out shows in Austin, gone. And it was
it's okay. We'll come back to it. We'll do it.
It's
all in God's timing, man. We're okay.
Yeah.
But also, you know, an update and kind of an impetus or catalyst as to why we're, you know, jumping in. Cause I really wanted, I like doing this in person. I mean, Zoom is amazing, and what it's been able to provide us in this specific time is just incredible. But yeah, you know, I always like to be in real life, face to face.
Would it help if I touch the screen?
Let's just
reach out.
Yeah. Reach out and touch.
Oh, you got something on your forehead.
Somebody's hand.
I'm sorry about that.
When your grandma used to do that, or your mom, they'd lick a finger to wipe something off of your face.
Oh, yeah, and it smelled. Her finger smelled.
You smell their spit on you. You're like, what?
What are you doing? Your breath.
What are you doing?
It smells like lips, crusty and lipstick.
Like, they hadn't even brushed their teeth. They had like grandma had like crumbs in her mouth from something she ate earlier.
Disgusting.
Anyway, one of the catalysts or you know, to why we're having this number three right now is because prior to the pandemic, and I've shared all this stuff with you, Michael, but you know, I was in the process of writing a book. I mean, I was in a much better place than where I was 3 years ago, as I've shared with you and the listeners. I went through a whole breakdown three and a half-ish years ago when I first moved out to Austin, and just didn't realize how much I didn't love myself or feel any self-worth at all. And I did so much work and went to incredible therapy as a place, Privé Suisse, as we've talked about, and with those amazing people.
Yeah.
And Shazam comes out of that, and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and all of these things just felt like, okay, I've done the work and I've healed of this thing. And now look at the fruit of that labor, and I'm good. I'm good now. And I didn't realize just how ungood I was. I didn't realize just how little healing I had done. And amazing, by the way, it's an incredible, I think, example and testament to God's love. Even a little bit of work that we do can bring about such incredible growth and such incredible things. But I still had so much more to do. And I didn't realize it until the pandemic hit, when I fell apart. I crumbled. And when it first started, I was actually okay and I felt optimistic. And then once the country started ripping apart at the seams, and there was just all of this vitriol and all, like, we're so, and as an empath, I, like, not only did I feel all that and feel like, what is, like, I lost hope. Like, what is the point of even working toward all of these things we're working toward if everybody's going to hate each other on the other side of this? And also me just, you know, all the negative loop that we find ourselves, you know, these lies that stay in our head and we can't get out of our head, like you're worthless or you're dumb or you're not going to get this done or you're ugly or whatever, all of the things. And this was, I was in the process of writing a book because HarperCollins had hit me up and they were like, listen, we want you to write a book about your mental health journey, specifically this one that I've talked about many times before, you know, kind of, the going away to this healing therapy retreat and then becoming a superhero on the other end of that. Like, you know, this really powerful part of what my, you know, very long mental health journey has been. And I was in the thick of that. And I was literally trying to write this book to help people to talk about loving yourself, like I've done many times on my social media. And I literally couldn't do it. I could not, without feeling like I was a complete fraud and hypocrite, I couldn't write a book about loving yourself when I knew still deep down I didn't love myself. And I was so messed up with this pandemic because I just went right back to feeling like a complete failure.
Do you remember
all these plans and all these
things? Do you remember the messages that you and I kind of left back and forth? I just remember this voice, and I'll tear up the fucking thinking about it. I was like, hey, buddy, it's Rosie. Just calling you, seeing how you're doing. And you're like, hey, bud, you know, and just the feeling like you could tell that you were like, I'm really trying here. And I'm sitting in my truck right now. And And I have that message, and it just was like, it broke my heart. And I was like, it broke my heart, but at the same time, I, you know, it was almost in a weird way nice to hear somebody that can maybe relate to how you're feeling. So I didn't want you to feel like that, but I felt like, you know, I immediately FaceTimed you and I go, hey, let's talk. And we talked for a long time, and we weren't expecting to, but it just was like, I know you've really stayed away from a lot of medication for a long time and this and that. And we were kind of talking about, hey, look, we got to try something. Yeah. And I remember, you know, you're right. You went to this place, and then I went to that place because I respect you so much and love you so much that I was like, you know, I'm going to do this for me. I remember you said, what's your biggest investment? What's your biggest, the most important thing to you? I go, I don't know, the most expensive things, probably my house, I guess. You go, no. I go, I don't know, my van isn't worth much. You're like, no, buddy, you're the most important. That shit is nothing without you. If you're not healthy, who gives a fuck? Health is wealth. And that struck a chord, man. And I was off to Connecticut and just trying to better myself. And so then afterwards, I feel better. And we're like, oh, I go, you were right. This really helped. And then you were in a good place. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves back into this lull. And then it's like, well, what just happened? I thought we fixed ourselves. But then we realize it's a never ending battle. It's a never ending, like, you have to work on yourself. And so, then here we are.
Well, I think, I think it's never ending, but I used to be much more downtrodden by that. Like, I hate the idea of, you know, forever pain, forever inconvenience, forever whatever. But I think that similar to, you know, if you, and I've used the dental analogy before with mental health, but if you never learned to brush and floss your teeth, or you learned but you never did it your whole life, you're going to end up with all manner of problems in your teeth. And then at that point, you're going to have to do some major, major, major work to get it all fixed again.
Good analogy.
And then beyond that, you're going to have to then continue to do the things that you were supposed to do in the beginning. And had you done those daily, those little practices, brush your teeth, floss your teeth. If you brush your teeth, floss your teeth every day, which is, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes if you're slow, then you don't have to have root canals. If mentally and emotionally, which, by the way, this is everybody, because no one has been taught really good mental and emotional flossing and brushing techniques, unless you grow up with therapists. And even that's a weird thing, because therapists being parents, like, I have friends whose parents are therapists and they're screwed up too.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, there's all those things. But so yes, it is a never ending. Our mental and emotional well-being journeys are never ending. But they don't have to be never-ending traumas. It's just it's a never-ending maintenance. And well, I think that where I found myself, and where you found yourself, and where I think a lot of, I don't think, I know a lot of people find themselves, is how do you even...
Where do you start?
Well, yeah. How do you, what kickstarts you into wanting to care for yourself if your serotonin and dopamine levels are so low that a depression, clinical depression, even, that's what I've definitely suffered from throughout my life. I didn't realize that I did. Again, we always think that everyone just kind of feels the way that we feel. It's normal. We don't realize that some people don't get into the lows that some of us can get into. And when I first went to Connecticut, well, when I went to Connecticut to Privé, am I allowed to say their name on here, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You went to a place that helped you.
No, I know. I just didn't
know. I went to McDonald's and had a burger, you know? What are they assuming?
So I was taking Lexapro,
mm-hmm.
Which is an SSRI, an antidepressant, and maybe it was just because I didn't take it long enough, or I didn't take the right dosage of it, but it never really felt like it helped me at all. So,
right. Cause everybody's brain chemistry is different. So some people it helps amazingly. Some people it doesn't.
Yeah.
I think I had tried that in the past and didn't help.
And there are so many different SSRIs, antidepressants, because of that, because your particular brain chemistry might respond better to Prozac, like, which is what I'm about to get into, which is something I've been taking for the last few months now, which has been a game changer for me. And I'll get into that. But with the Lexapro, I didn't really feel like anything was working, and I got some really good wisdom and love and healing at Privé. And I really was that, you know, we all kind of have that thing in us, like, well, I don't want to have to take a pill for the rest of my life. I don't want to have to do that. Well, guess what? Sometimes you do. And that's okay. Sometimes we are all born. I mean, there are people that are born missing an arm.
Right.
What if they said, well, I don't want to have to use a prosthetic for the rest of my life. Well, they're just cutting off their nose to spite their face.
Right.
You have a thing to help you to reach that thing, to grab that thing, but you're not going to use it because you don't want to have to be dependent on it. And by the way, I've never been born without an arm, and I don't know what that journey is like, but it would seem to me that in that same way, we need to be approaching, again, physical well-being should be equatable to mental and emotional well-being. It should be. We have so many stigmas around it. We don't want to feel like we're the person that has to take a drug, a pill every day, even.
Right. You feel shame. Like, why can't I be normal? Oh my God. Why can't I? Am I not strong enough? Am I too weak? And that was a stigma that's been around since the beginning of all this shit. And it's bullshit. And everybody listening is bullshit. It's all bullshit. Whatever works for you. Obviously, if cocaine works for you, don't do that. That's a bad thing. But if you have something that's controlled, that's works for your brain chemistry, and you go through it with your therapist and you feel comfortable and it makes you feel like normal, like you can get things done. You're not going into these deep, dark areas. And so I agree with you wholeheartedly. And the analogy with the not flossing your teeth makes perfect sense. I mean, it really does. Because one day you wake up and you're like, oh my God, my whole mouth, they need to rip out my teeth. Well, that's the exact same thing. If you wait till you're our age, you're 40. You're 40.
40.
I'm 48. Fuck me in the butt or anywhere.
You look great, Rosie.
Well, I don't. Well, thank you. I'll tell you what. My daddy always told me it's better to feel good than to look. It's better to look good than to feel good. Let me tell you. You look. You don't remember that guy? Look absolutely marvelous. Fernando.
Oh, suddenly,
my daddy always told me, Fernando, don't be a schnook. It's not how you feel. It's how you look. Okay?
That's Billy Crystal, isn't it?
Billy Crystal, yes. Marvelous, baby. Inside of You is brought to you by BetterHelp. Stop right now. If you're freaking out, if you're stressed about the way the world is now, or just life in general, anxiety, depression, all this stuff, if you deal with stuff like I do and everybody deals with, you deserve help. You deserve to get BetterHelp, BetterHelp online counseling. They are a sponsor for a long time, and they're serious about helping people, and so am I, and that's why I think it's a good match. 2020 was pretty interesting, so let's do a mental health check-in, why don't we? How are you really? Ask yourself. And what do you need right now? Therapy can help. And, people ask, what is therapy exactly? And they sum it up pretty good. It's really whatever you want it to be. That's therapy. You get tools to help with motivation, depression, anxiety, battling your temper, stress, dealing with insecurity in relationships or at work, whatever you need. It's not just, I think people associate it with this big sort of what's the word, Ryan? It's just this stigma of people that need therapy are, no, that's absolutely not true. I always say people who don't go to therapy are, you know what I'm saying? It's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better, because you deserve to be happy. BetterHelp is a customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. And it's much more affordable than in-person therapy. And trust me, I live in Hollywood. It's expensive, so BetterHelp is way cheaper, and you can start communicating with your therapist within 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what therapy is really about. It may or may not be for you, but it is certainly worth looking into, because you are the greatest asset. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Inside of You listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/inside. That's betterhelp.com/inside. BetterHelp. Inside of You is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Guys, I don't know what to do here with you guys, because, you wake up in the morning and you do what I do. You probably eat a bowl of cereal, or you eat bacon and eggs, and you don't get any important crap going into your body. You don't get the good stuff in your body. We neglect our bodies, and it's so easy to please them, especially with a product like Athletic Greens. I mean, this is something, a powder that you put into a glass of water, a 10-ounce glass of water. You mix it up in seconds It's got 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more. And they all work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet. You increase your energy, better focus, aids with digestion, and supports a healthy immune system, all without having to take multiple products. This is, again, something I talk about. If you're getting, whether you're young or not, but I'm getting older, I need to start doing healthy things. Ryan, do you find yourself just doing the same crap every day?
Oh, especially now, for sure.
And what are you eating in the morning?
I mean, I do eggs and some toast.
And you think, oh, eggs are kind of healthy.
Yeah.
Toast is. But do you honestly, gun to your head, think you're getting enough vitamins and nutrients and minerals in your body every day?
No way.
Hell no. It's so easy. I gave you some packets of the Athletic Greens. Uh-huh. It's tasty. It's not like you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to hold my nose. You know, there's some of those drinks where you plug your nose and you're like, oh shoot, here we go.
Yep.
No, man, this tastes good. It tastes good. Give it a shot. Get your life together. Start your day with Athletic Greens. It works for me. It gives me energy. I know when I don't take it because I could fall asleep right now talking to you.
Right now, Athletic Greens is doubling down on supporting your immune system during the winter months. They're offering our audience a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. If you visit the link today, you'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again.
It's that easy. Start today, guys. Give this a shot. Simply visit athleticgreens.com/YOU. Join health experts, athletes, and health-conscious go-getters around the world who make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, athleticgreens.com/YOU and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs today. So go back to you, because I know you were saying Prozac. And by the way, I want to commend you for being very, not only straightforward, but like also it's very brave for people, especially in our industry, to go, oh, I'm on this, or I'm like, people think, oh, but that shows a weakness. Like, I've had surgeries, I deal with pain. Oh, he's a liability. No, I'm just being honest with the world, and I do what I can, and I just think it helps. And again, whenever you talk about this, as I'm sure you'll say, and we've talked about, it's not like Prozac will work for everybody. Prozac might work for you.
No,
so anyway, go ahead.
In fact, you know, I share it because I think it's important, as you know. I think vulnerability is important.
And transparency.
Superpower. I think it helps. It feels awkward and it's scary to be that real, but it has only ever brought positive things into mine and other people's lives.
Me too.
So I don't want to hide and not talk about the struggles that I have, particularly since we have the platform that we do. And I think that the more we can normalize, and we have platforms to really spread that normalization out there, so that's super helpful. The only thing that I've ever questioned talking about the brand or type of pharmaceutical is something that actually I learned. Was it when Chris?
Because they'll give you, bank you as a spokesperson, like, oh, he says this.
No, it's not. It's not even that. It's it was something I heard Kristen Bell say, and it was either on your podcast or it was on on Armchair.
Well, she said she wouldn't name the product because she doesn't want other people. It was, it was on mine where she said she doesn't want other people to think that
something,
right, that doesn't work for them just because it worked for her. So she didn't say.
Exactly.
So that's exactly what I was alluding to, and I think that's the
only hesitancy I even have in talking about what I'm taking. But I'm going to talk about it. Because we're also giving people the clarity in our conversation right now that this, just because it works for me doesn't mean it works for you. And by the way, I'm not even sure it works for me perfectly right now. You know, there's things that work and there's things that don't work. When I, first, tracking back a little bit. So again, even though I was in like really, 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 sad shape and feeling super defeated and lost and incapable and, you know, all of the not good things. I don't want to have to take a pill if I don't have to. I'm going to do all of the other things and things that I've done before, but I was really like leaning into it. I was praying
exercise,
meditating daily, 20 minutes a day, sometimes 40 minutes a day, 20 in the morning and 20 at night. There's a great app, by the way, my friend turned me on to, if anybody's looking to get into meditation, One Giant Mind.
Write that down, Ryan. Like,
they walk you through.
I thought you were going to say J-Date. Isn't that for Jews? Like myself, I'm a Jew. You're a Jew. One Giant Mind. You're not Jew.
So it was meditating, was working out every day, was eating the cleanest of clean, wasn't drinking any booze. And it still was not pulling me out of the depths. And it was terrifying. And I was like, well, I can't, if I'm doing all these things and it doesn't really feel like I'm having consistent, marked difference in the uptick of my life, then I guess that's the sign that I do need to try something. And, you know, as it turned out, had people like yourself or others who were saying, you know, Zach, maybe it's time that you really give an antidepressant a shot. And one of the things that really put me over the edge, not to plug somebody else's podcast, but I think it's definitely worth mentioning and something you'd really enjoy listening to. It's a podcast called The Hilarious World of Depression. And it's, I can't remember the name of the host, but he's great. And he interviews just basically a bunch of comedians. The first couple of seasons are just mainly comedians and comic writers, but then he brings in other people from entertainment and stuff. And
I want to get on there. We should both get on there.
Oh, we definitely should. At some point, I would love to do it. But anyway, the point is that he interviews all these people and all of them, you know, it's without fail. It's like, yeah, I didn't want to have to take the pill. I didn't want to, we all have this kick. We want to kick back on this thing. And they all say, change my life, change my life, change my life, change my life, change my life. I couldn't get out of bed. And then I was all of a sudden like, I'm okay again. And I think part of it is none of us want to admit how
we need help.
Well, no. Yes. But I think that people don't want to admit the idea that we are just how helpless we are to our body's biochemistry. I think we all think that we are in control of that. And it's actually a very liberating concept to acknowledge and to say, oh, no, I don't have, like, all of my thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are a whole bunch of things. Sometimes that's me thinking. A lot of times that is this negative interject, this negative feedback loop. And so much of that stuff directly comes from your level of dopamine or serotonin or whatever the epinephrine, I guess. Yeah.
My thoughts are, I don't want a lot of these thoughts.
Yeah, totally. 100%. But because your body and your mind are in a depressed state because of dopamine, serotonin lacking in your system, you are infinitely more prone to stay subject to those thoughts. Mm. As soon as you can take some antidepressants or whatever it is that you need to take for you and your particular mental and emotional well-being journey, you can find a key. And here's the other thing. It shouldn't shock anybody that we all have mental and emotional issues. Look at the world. Look at the world that was before us and all of the woes and all of the crazy. And look at where we're at now. Look at these little devils that are in our pockets that, you know, like if you watch The Social Dilemma, the documentary on Netflix, which is like so scary to think about, like you're not even in charge of your own social media. You're being constantly marketed to. And we all know it. We talk. Our phone is in.
Dude, I swear to God, you're absolutely right. I was sitting with my friend Joe outside and we're sitting there talking. I don't remember exactly what was said. And I'm just going to say for random. I was like, yeah, it's like, you know, when I got this taco at Taco Bell last week, I'm not kidding. 10 seconds later, he just looked at his phone and goes, dude, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
It Instagram popped up an ad for Taco Bell. Yeah. I'm not on my phone. So they are 100%. Pretty much listening to you. You cannot trust any. Oh, it's sad.
It's terrifying. So, and kids are growing up with us more and more and more and more. We're constantly just distracted from working on ourselves. The longer we get distracted, the longer it takes for us to actually come to emotional and mental wellness and maturity. And these things are the greatest. They are the, I've said this for years. It is the single greatest Swiss Army knife in the history of mankind. And also the deepest narcissist pool. You can get lost in it. Black Mirror.
I'm good. They love me. I'm great. I need that. I need this.
Lost in that darkness.
Yeah, that's true.
So none of us should feel ashamed that we struggle with stress and anxiety and depression and bipolar, whatever, all of the things. Our brains are being fractured every single day by our politicians, by our food, by our pharma, by our social media, by all of it, by so much of our content.
Yes. But by the way, Zach, it's not just that. The most important thing is that we have all those external things going on, because you could also have the choice to use those things and the choice to acknowledge things and be as. But what I'm going to say is that there are some choices. Look, I don't think you can control much, but you can control your determination to fight for a better life, to feel better. I mean, you could always have control of trying. But what I was going to say is that if someone has schizophrenia, someone has manic depressive, someone has bipolar, this is science. These are doctors who have diagnosed these people. And if they get diagnosed by enough doctors, then it is real. It's science. So their mind works in a different way. Their brain chemistry, just the channels that are going around, they're not like mine or yours. And my brain is not like you. So ultimately, it's asinine to think that everybody has a normal brain and we all can improve our brain by just exercise. Like Zach said, that he tried that, his food, his meditation, all these things. So if you've done everything and your therapist goes, I really think that this slow dose of something it's worth a shot. I mean, that's why I'm diving into it. I don't want to be all metted up. I go, look, if this is going to fuck with my creativity, if this is going to fuck with blah, blah, blah. I mean, there are side effects. Like he said, well, you're not going to want to have sex as much. I'm like, well, it's a pandemic. I don't really have sex anyway. But, so ultimately it's like, there's so many variables, but look into your world now where you decided, okay, I am good. Because I remember you did not want to. Like, I don't know. I don't want to try Prozac. I don't want to do this. I don't know. And I remember having that conversation with you going, dude, if nothing's working and you've tried everything, why don't you try something? Just if you don't like it, get off it. You know, just be monitor it. Talk to your friends.
Yeah, I think part of the difficulty in this is that you're asking almost without fail. You're always asking a depressed person what they should do. A depressed person doesn't know what to do. They're scared of doing almost anything because you don't want to make it worse.
Right.
So it's a really weird oxymoron, right? It's this paradox. Like, of course the depressed person is not thinking clearly or as rationally or as logically as they ought to be. As somebody who's been on Prozac now for a couple of months and has my serotonin levels stabilized, that makes a complete, it's so much more rational. Also because I've now done it and I've seen the benefits of it. And so obviously that all plays into it too. But you know, you and others who I talked to who had also gone through, you know, seasons of their life where they were on it for a while. And they said, listen, it was a lifesaver. It was a life changer. It helped me. You know, my therapist used a great analogy when I talked to him about, like, I don't want to be on this stuff for the rest of my life. He goes, well, maybe you will and maybe you won't. I don't know. But there, you know, like I said, there are plenty of people like diabetics have to take a shot. Well, now they have these cool little machines and things right. That are kind of automatic. But, you know, I mean, I remember having diabetic buddies when I was growing up. It's like every single time they ate, they had to prick their finger and check their
That should be a sitcom, by the way. Diabetic buddies. It's like three overweight guys or underweight. I have friends who are really skinny with diabetes, but you know they get it and they live together and they have to check. Anyway, yeah. Stupid idea.
And, you know, so that could be the rest of your life, perhaps. But you know, also if you're in a room and you're in the dark, and the only way to turn the light on is to drag a stool over to underneath the light. So you have something to stand on so you can reach the light. Then look at the antidepressants or whatever drugs that you might need to take as that stool.
Yeah.
And just get up there and get that light on.
I love that.
Once you've got the light on, then assess. Then look at what's going on.
You know, then you can leave the light on.
You can leave the light on.
Hey, let me ask you, what was it like the first month or two when you did do Prozac? And were you like talking about getting off it and saying, this isn't working, this isn't working? Were there many times you almost got off it?
Oh, man, yeah, I mean, well, libido is definitely something that is a side effect that is very clear in all of the, you know, like this may cause this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's some of that, but
I don't lose a bone. I don't lose the boner. I just don't feel like using the boner.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, go down, dude. I don't know what you're doing. I just don't feel like doing it.
That's
like,
that's a very good way to, a very good way to summarize it.
Bone be gone.
But that is whatever. You can deal with that shit. The thing that made me almost get off of it, and I'm glad I didn't, and I'm glad my therapist encouraged me to push through. And this is a good disclaimer for anybody who is thinking about getting on antidepressants. Just keep this in mind. In my case, so I started on, a small milligram dose, 5 milligrams or something of Prozac, for the first couple of weeks. You want to ease into these things. Mm-hmm. It's very delicate, all this biochemistry, and you want to make sure that you're putting the right stuff in and it's not having adverse effects. So 5 milligrams, golden, but didn't really feel like it was lifting me up that much. 10, still not much. So then I was able to go up to 20. And when I did, for like the first couple days, I was okay. And then for about a week, I had gnarly anxiety. Now, I was already suffering from anxiety. I suffer from anxiety without that. So that was one of the things I'm trying to get away from.
Right.
And it ended up amplifying my anxiety in a way that was like, I can't do this.
Especially while you're working. You're doing The Underdog. You're doing all these other things. You're preparing for these movies. You can't have horrible anxiety.
No.
So what happens? You fight through that anxiety?
I just fought through it. And I talked to those closest around me just to be like, hey, just know if I'm like, you know, needing to go take a walk or I'm just, you know, breathing, or looks like I'm just like, you know, resting or whatever. Like I'm just trying to breathe through this stuff and know that this is not real. It is biochemistry making something feel real. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, wow. we are not humble enough when it comes to how strong and powerful our minds are. Like, we think these depressive thoughts because we're down in this depressive state, and then we believe these depressive thoughts as truth. They're not. How people, you know, how often we sit around when we're in a bummed out mood and think about like all the shit that we did wrong in our life and we beat ourselves up about
ruminating.
Or we think about, oh, that stupid thing I did with that person and they must think I'm an idiot. And all of those projections, when that person might not have even clocked what you did.
Or cares.
And even if they did, they haven't thought about you in 20 years or whatever. But to you, it is real and clear as the day.
Yeah.
But it's not, because our biochemistry literally makes us feel in such a way that it galvanizes that. It like solidifies it as some kind of fact, and it's a fucking lie. It's not true.
So go ahead.
I knew that was going on. My therapist is like, you got to remind yourself this is just a physical reaction. There is nothing to be anxious about. Because if you're feeling anxiety, then you'll apply that anxiety onto things in your life, and then you'll feel that anxiety about those things. As opposed to just feeling it, you know, I think it's a very Buddhist kind of thing to allow yourself to just feel whatever it is you're feeling. Meditation is the same thing. It's feel what you're feeling. Become bedfellows with your pain, with your fear, with your anxiety, with your depression. Like, all, you know, embrace them.
But what was the first thing you felt in a good way, like in terms of like, oh, it's working? Or did it take you time to sort of, as my therapist would say, hey, tell anxiety he could sit in the back seat, but he's not driving, and then shut the fuck up. I know it's there. This is what's happening, but that's not real. He could sit in the back seat. He's there. We know he's there, but keep driving. And, or was there a moment where you're like, you woke up, or day two, and you're like, my anxiety's kind of gone. I don't feel low. No, I'm not.
I mean, honestly, like once all the anxiety kind of leveled up, even while the anxiety was going on, I could still feel the depression lessening. So that was, I could feel not happier necessarily, but I didn't feel as
unhappy
or like depressed. It was just the anxiety that was still. So once that then leveled off and things kind of stabilized, I don't feel the anxiety. Thank God.
Beautiful.
And my therapist was right. And just, you know, ride that out and don't take, you know, cause I was like, do I take something to counteract that? And he goes, don't take any more things. Just ride it out. It sucks, but you're going to be okay. And now, you know, it's strange. It's like, you know, cause you, I guess you just assume, or because people for so many years say that they're happy pills or whatever, antidepressants, but they're not really happy pills. And it's not like, you know, fly in and just like, oh my God, like some
right.
know, drug trip or whatever.
Right.
You're actually as somebody who struggles with the depression as I do, I think this is just what people feel like normally.
Right. It's normalcy. The happy pill is really, I'm like, here comes my normal pill. I can feel kind of like maybe you.
Yeah. No, that's true. So that's kind of where it's at now. And that allows me to now not be run by this monkey brain that's down in the depressive state that's thinking lies are real. And instead, you know, like getting all of that, like had a therapist once talked about, like, you know, perspective and why we get so strung out. It's like putting your hand in front of your face. Well, if you put your hand right in front of your face, you actually can't see the form of your hand. You know it's your hand, but, you know, it's all kind of double visioned and, you know, there's no real clear lines. And until you can pull your hand away far enough from your face, then you can go, oh, that's a hand. I can see all the fingers. I can see all of the lines in it. But you have no perspective here. There's nothing here. And this is where we're at in our messed up biochemistry. We have no, it's everything just like,
how many people you think just did that with me? How many people watching just put their hand near their face and went along with it and go, oh my God, I did. Everybody. I was lost in Zach's words and his hand. Inside of You is brought to you by True Underdog Podcast. Raised in a trailer park with no clear path to success, kicked out of high school multiple times, faced with becoming a father in his teens, Jason Waller is the definition of a true underdog. After hearing the words no or you can't too many times, he unleashed the power within to start three successful companies, with his most recent venture, Power Home Solar, skyrocketing on a path to becoming a $1 billion enterprise. Join us as Waller, a four-time Entrepreneur of the Year winner, shares motivational tips and inspiring stories and business building lessons from the ground up. He shares his life experiences and that of his high profile guests to help others better themselves. As Waller will tell you, there's no elevator to success. That climb only happens one step at a time. Let every True Underdog Podcast be that step that elevates you. Scared money won't make money. Learn about failure. Learn about entrepreneurship. Learn about never quitting or making excuses. It's real. It's raw. It's motivational. Check out True Underdog Podcast at trueunderdog.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Inside of You is brought to you by Geico.
Do you own or rent a home?
Ryan, I have a home. I know you rent a home.
I do rent a home.
And it's a pain in the ass.
Pain in the ass.
That's the biggest thing. We always talk about this, but it's funny because, you know, I'm 48 years old, man, and you're
32, almost 33.
All right, go to hell. You're young. But you're more mature than I am. But no matter what, I think the older you get, you don't want to do as much. You don't want to pay as many bills. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go out. There's just a lot of things that you want to save time with. Groceries, mm-hmm. auto insurance, homeowners insurance, all these things that just sound so adult. You want somebody that's respected that everybody knows, but at the same time, you want to be able to do one payment. Mm-hmm. And those are called bundling policies. It's so easy, honestly, with Geico. And you know, to have one payment and that's all you have to deal with, as opposed to three different companies, to me, that's what's important in my life. I'll tell you that right now. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com. All you do is get a quote. It's so simple. And see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
So that's been, a huge benefit, and continuing to do the other things as well. And staying healthy and staying strong and, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, 2020 was,
brutal for everybody.
Well, yeah, unless you're Jeff Bezos. It wasn't very brutal for him. By and large, we all got smacked around really, really, really hard. And some of us even lost our lives. And we're not out of the woods yet. There's still going to be more COVID flying around. We got the vaccines, which is great. And more of those will be handed out. And depending on how well or efficiently we do that, maybe by summertime, maybe we have things opening to a level that like feel real. And by Q3, it's really real. And by Q4, by holidays of next year, we've got herd immunity or we're close to it or whatever. But we still have a lot of this to go through and a lot of, political bullshit that we're all going to be wading through together and trying to stay a hopeful. Like, if you want to be a productive person, you have to have some kind of hope. You have to have some kind of
faith and something
resolve, faith, something where you know that it's worth it, And when I'm at my highs, everything's worth it. But when I'm in my lows, I'm like, what's the point of life?
Yeah, isn't that something?
What are we doing, And that's where I know that I can swing. And whether I'm bipolar or not, I don't know. I've never been diagnosed with that. But bipolar is a massive, big catch-all category. And there's all manner of, like, there's bipolar 1 and 2 and 3. And 3 is just, like, a whole bunch of stuff that we're not really sure what it is. But maybe it is bipolar, but we don't know. And
When I'm happiest, Zach? I think when it's 1 a.m. and I'm on eBay looking at old lunchboxes, vintage lunchboxes. I just got this Empire Strikes Back one. There's something to be said about just kind of, it's not healthy. It's not healthy. But, my excuse is, I'm not going to, be some douchebag. I'm not going to go buy a $300,000, Benz or whatever. I'm just buying a $30 or $80 fucking Empire lunchbox. That's it. I'm not spending like crazy here. I might spend a few hundred bucks here and there. I'm not going nuts, but I want some lunchboxes. There's something bad about that, though. There's something dark. There's something there that I'm, what is it? You're looking at me like, you've been there because you think that this is going to make you happier. Like, these certain things are going to make you happy, but it's ephemeral. Look,
ultimately that's retail therapy.
I know.
And external validation on some level.
Why? I'm the only one that cares about it.
I think that it's healthy and good to treat yourself occasionally. Absolutely. I think that that's part of self-love is to say like, I'm worth this thing, whatever this thing is. Only we can gauge when we are buying something because we're worth it, buying something because we want to be worth it. And that's where I think, a lot of us struggle and stumble. We don't give it enough thought before purchasing. And then, because once you purchase, you get the dopamine rush and you get the fun and you get the thing and you get it. But that goes away quick.
Really?
By the way, that was one of the things.
Wow.
One of the things that I've definitely I think recognized for the first time in my career, in my life, not working. Well, you and I have talked about this before, but when I didn't realize how much, I derived my worth from work before this pandemic. I knew that I did on some level. But I don't know. I always kind of felt like in the past, if I wasn't working, it was my fault. So I could beat myself up. And that's why I was upset with myself. this was the first time I wasn't working, and it wasn't because I hadn't booked a job or whatever. It's because this virus is floating around the world. Everything gets shut down. So I should be very kind to myself and be like, okay, well, okay, you know, we'll hunker down, we'll figure this out, and we'll get back to work on stuff once we get back. But I didn't. Instead, I was still feeling worthless. And I was like, why can't I just be okay with me? I'm not being Zach on a set. If I'm not being Zach with my cast and crew and taking care of people and loving people and entertaining people there and making a thing that's going to go entertain people outside of here for years to come, why can't I feel like I'm worth anything if I'm not doing some version of that, or, you know, working and producing and creating? Why can't I? Because I still didn't love myself enough. I still don't. Valuing myself enough to be okay if I don't do another TV show or another movie or another play or another song or whatever. If I had to switch careers right now and go do something else, am I going to be happy with myself? Am I going to love myself?
I'm trying. I'm listening to this and I'm going, you know, my therapist is always Sandy, you know, Sandy, but Sandy's always like, you're worth it. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I'm totally worth it. Yeah, I know. I know I'm talented. I know, but I'm not, it's not settling in. It's not.
Yeah.
And it's just such a weird dynamic where it's like, I don't hate myself. I don't look in the mirror and go, you're a terrible, fucking awful person. But I do think, I definitely can't say I love myself. I cannot say that, honest to God, gun to my head. Somebody said, do you love yourself? I cannot say yes. That's for sure. But, and there are moments, right? You go in these phases where it's like, oh, you're just such an asshole, dude. You're fucking. And then you're like, you know what? That was a really good thing you did. And you didn't do it because the cameras were rolling, or you didn't do it because you wanted people to like you. You did it because you really have a heart. And there are ups and downs of that sort of validation and like validating yourself for certain reasons. And so that's all a balancing act. And that's part of the whole therapy and all this. Look, enough about me. This is about you. But see, you could be my therapist.
Just to add to that a little bit and also circle back on what I was going to then get into when I was talking about how I kind of recognized that I was driving so much of my worth from my work. Another thing that I recognized was dopamine, and this is through, you know, by the way, this is also like 40 years of life and, you know, knowing things now that I didn't know before. So I can not connect dots that didn't make any sense. But dopamine is a really fascinating drug in our bodies. And it's really a reward drug. So serotonin is a, I mean, by the way, I'm not even, don't quote me on any of this stuff, but
we're just actors talking about things.
Yeah, you know, but well, serotonin seems to be more of a love drug, like kind of a more steady feel of things are okay. Right, a peace or that kind of stuff. Whereas dopamine is the excitement. Dopamine is the little shot, and we get them playing video games. This is why people become addicted to video games. This is why people become addicted to certain drugs that give them dopamine. But it's also why people get addicted to work, because every single time you achieve a little goal, you get a little shot of dopamine in your body. It's your body. Your evolutionarily, our bodies were designed to help us propel forward. Literally, you get little shots of dopamine throughout your day. When you're playing a video game, every single time you're playing a shooter game, every time you kill a guy or you level up or you get the new gear or you a new map opens up, like they design apps, they design games, they design them specifically for these reasons, so that you have all these little dopamine checkpoints.
Like a lunchbox. Same thing. There's a little shot of dopamine there. It's a small shot, but it's dopamine. Go ahead.
That's what I was saying. You get that little shot because you've checked, got that Empire Strikes Back.
And then it goes down. Got it. Done.
Yeah. And then it goes down and you got to do another one. You get another shot. Right.
Get rid of it.
So what I didn't realize was I had basically stripped myself of all of my little dopamine shots, because I have been grateful and very blessed to have been working as consistently as I've worked in my career, But that going for the most part, from job to job, you know, there were definitely seasons of life that were drier, and those were also, as it turns out, shocker, more depressed states in me, because I didn't have enough hobbies or other things that I was accomplishing. I was always wanting to go to work, and when I was at work, I got all the dopamine that I needed. Because you show up to work, by the way, getting up, this is why there's scientists and like there's this, I think there's a Navy SEAL has this great commencement speech and he talks about tucking in or making your bed in the morning. And the reason why you make your bed in the morning is because it's the first shot of dopamine you get.
It's an accomplishment. You accomplish making your bed. And
it's a little, they don't need to be big accomplishments.
I do
they
it.
They need to be little accomplishments.
Do you do
getting up, make your bed.
You make your bed?
Go to the bathroom, brush your teeth. Take the shower, shave, whatever, all those little things. And, you know, we don't think they are, but they actually are little teeny accomplishments.
Wow.
When you go to work as an actor, you show up, you know, hopefully you're on time. Accomplishment. You say hi. Now you've got some community there. You're seeing your set PA or your base camp or whatever. Cool.
The director hugged you.
Sure.
When you could do that.
Now you're rehearsing. The rehearsal process is an accomplishment. You're going through, you're figuring things out. You're figuring out where you're going to stand and you're figuring out your lines if you don't already know them. And you're working it out with the other actors and the director and all that. And that's one
big. And then your takes. And then you do a take and it's great. And then it's a dopamine. Exactly. It goes on. And then you go home, you're exhausted, and you start the whole day over.
Exactly.
And when you don't work, you don't have those days. You don't have all that dopamine. So what do you do?
Well, I think you're doing things that are helpful in that regard. You are busying yourself with your podcast, with writing your music, with performing your music, with whatever it is, your hobbies. I struggle with hobbies because I don't prioritize them. I think that in my warped thinking for so long in my life, it's like, well, those are kind of a waste of time. I need to focus on the work stuff. I spend too much time screwing around and playing video games and doing whatever, and I don't have time for that. I need to go do this stuff. So for me personally, I need to invest in me. I need to invest in me time. I got a ukulele. I'm learning how to play ukulele.
Let's write a song together. Let's do a song. Why don't we do a duet? Well, I mean, or I'm not kidding. Like I have a duet on this album. You're right. All these hobbies. Like I'm thinking the music. Wait a minute. I've never been more happy. Never been happier. Never been felt like a rush, a dopamine. Every time I get a note back and here's the song and we have notes and then I have to go re-record this. And even though I'm not I haven't been a musician my life, I love music. And I finally said, just because I don't sing like Adam Lambert, I can fucking make music. And now you can't get me away from writing music. I love it. I don't care if I become a rock star. I'm not there to be a rock star. Yeah, I want to make music and hopefully people like it and the patrons do and you know, friends do. And I love it, most importantly, for the first time in my life. So maybe that is a breakthrough. Inadvertently, I didn't realize that music would be such an important factor in my life. And that is a hobby. And so maybe you're right. Take the ukulele up. Let's write a song together. Let's go back and forth with lyrics. Let's put something down and go, hey, that's another accomplishment. Let's just do more things without over. You got to also not spread yourself too thin because you do a lot of stuff as well.
Yeah. And look, and everybody's got to be able to gauge that for themselves. And, you know, are you overworking yourself? Are you overstimulating yourself? Are you not enough? Or, you know, that's everybody's got different bandwidth. I know for me, I found myself in this pandemic without work and not knowing how to enjoy my own life. And I was so blessed, man. I was on my ranch in Texas on the river. I had family and friends that could come and stay with me and all quarantine together. I mean, we had a beautiful situation, and yet I was still so despondent. And one of the things that I gleaned from that was, oh, because I have derive all of my worth from my work, but part of the reason why I do that is because I get my dopamine almost exclusively from work.
Yeah.
And if I don't have enough to do for work, and I'm telling myself, well, this is a waste of time over here to go and, you know, get better on my dirt bike or mountain bike or get up and run every day or whatever, you know, learn how to tap dance, learn a new language, whatever it is. And also it's difficult when you are in a depressive state to believe in yourself. So that makes it harder. So before you get to that deep, deep down depressive state, or even if you're in that right now, recognize that you telling yourself you can't do it is a lie. You telling yourself that you're not worthy of doing it is a lie. Go and do it. Fake it till you make it, because you will start giving yourself dopamine by accomplishing. go accomplish. Accomplishing almost anything will give you little shots of that dopamine, and it will help pull you out of the depression.
This is a wonderful conversation. To me, this is, I hope people enjoy it as much as I do. I hope everybody listens. It matters to me. This has been dopamine for me. I've learned so much, and I always learn from you. And I know I'm sort of the little kid kind of just jumping in and making a joke here and there. And I kind of like do that because sometimes, I like to do that, but sometimes it's insecurity or it's like, oh my God, he's talking about exactly what I'm getting too serious here. Like, oh, farts have done it again. Farts have cut into the serious talk. And I'm sure people say, Zach was about to say something really important and he cut him off with a singing the Bee Gees or some shit. We're going to get into a thing called shit talking with Zach Levi. This is rapid fire. This is just fast. If you could do it fast.
Yeah.
This is all my patrons get to ask these questions. If you want to join Patreon, patreon.com/inside of you, I'll message you. Sophie M, what are three positive things that you have done during lockdown?
Three positive things I've done during lockdown.
Prozac.
eating right, working out, and meeting a lovely girl.
That we didn't even get into that. All right. Hang on. We might get into that, but we might not. I don't want to get personal. I will. We have been personal. Jen D. How has your recent social media hiatus been beneficial to your mental health? How has your recent social media hiatus?
Tremendously. I've ventured back on a little bit. But I find myself almost wanting to disappear again. It's just incredible how addictive Instagram specifically is. Just the endless scroll. You're just constantly, I know it, like you're doing it and you know you're doing it and you still don't stop.
Yeah.
Because you think, by the way, this is also dopamine. Because every single time you come across one of those memes, that's a golden meme. And like, I won. Yeah. See, I was supposed to keep scrolling. I found the nugget. And then
you keep going.
Instead of just ending there, you go, I bet I'll find another one.
It's me with popcorn.
It might as well be a one-armed bandit slot machine.
It's me with popcorn. I'm like, I've had enough. I'm bloated. I'm farting. Yeah. And I need to stop. And I'm like, no, I have half a bowl. It's delicious Himalayan salt. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's non-dairy butter. I'm going to finish this fucking bowl. I'll even give a few more kernels to my dogs. Dopamine. Sure. Steph A, what's something you like to see WB do, Warner Brothers do, that you think would make the DCEU, the DC universe, better? Bring back Lex Luthor. What? Say what?
They did bring back Lex Luthor.
No, but I know. Did they bring back the Lex Luthor? Well, that's the question she asked.
Is that what you go by now? The Lex Luthor?
No, I don't go by that. Some people do. Screen Rant, other publications.
A young Gene Hackman, I always referred to you as.
By the way, he's my favorite. He was my favorite Lex Luthor of all time.
So good. He was so good.
But you don't know, really. And that's a tough question, isn't it?
I don't know. It's like, and this isn't just trying to, I'm not definitely not evading or dodging or whatever, or paying lip service when I say I'm legit just grateful that I get to be Shazam and get to be in that world. And as a comic book fan and video game player and lover of all nerdy pop culture, like, I have all kinds of different ideas of what I think would be fun or cool. But look, I think that from what I've gathered from my bosses and conversations that I've had, I think that Warner Brothers and DC are making steps to do exactly that, at making it better. I think that, there was unfortunately just some missteps or misfires or whatever that came in the initial universe building that just didn't pan out, and Marvel's did. They took, I think Feige and those guys were smart enough to take Jon Favreau and Robert Downey Jr.'s template in the original Iron Man, and eventually just kind of put that vibe over all of their titles. They realized that that's what people want. And they were right. It's funny enough and with just enough action and explosiveness and death, but not so much that like kids are freaking out and parents can take their kids to the movie. Like they struck the perfect chord, and Favreau and Downey did that first. And then they used that template and they did it. DC and Zack Snyder wanted to go the other direction and be like, let's make this dark. Let's do it. Let's do this darker deal. And I think for Batman, that works. I think that it was a difficult thing to apply to all of the DC characters because of their different personalities and stuff. And ultimately, they were trying to figure out their tone, and Zach had to leave Justice League and Joss came in, and now there's all that drama and all these things that people are talking about. And that was all well before my time. And I can't weigh in on any of it, but what I can say is that now, because the universe build didn't work, I think, in the way that everyone wanted it to, they have pivoted, and now they're allowing it to be this DC universe, the multiverse, which is interesting because Marvel is now kind of doing that thing as well. But it allows you to make all the movies you want, and they can be connected or not connected or whatever. And I think that's smarter.
This has been awesome. The last thing I want to say really quick, is I'm really happy about the girlfriend. So why don't we see how that goes? And in maybe 5 months or 4 months or whatever down the road this year, you come back. And if that's still happening, it happened. I wish you the best. I you don't normally have girlfriends. I normally don't either. It's not because we're not, we're troubled. I think we're innately good people like everyone, but we're just trying to be better. And once we like ourselves more and love ourselves, then we can love. And that's ultimately the bottom line of us. Yeah. Or I can speak for myself, but.
Yeah. And I think part of that is, when you struggle loving yourself, then you really struggle allowing another person to love you because you don't think you're deserving of it. And you don't even know that you're doing that. But
yeah, I don't even know that that's what's happening. Like you're saying, you're not loving someone. You're like, well, this person's so sweet to me and so kind to me and so friendly, and we get along and we don't fight and all these things and things and things. And why don't I love this person? Well, maybe because you don't love yourself. But how do you do that then? Is that really the reason? Or is it so it's just this battle that you have in your head, and it's just like a bunch of lies, like you said, and it's like, get to the bottom of it. And that's, I think, what we're doing. That's why we're here,
Amen.
Thanks, Zach. I love you. Thanks for being here again.
I love you too, man. And I love everybody out there listening and watching. And we'll see you soon.
You edit these episodes, Ryan. Do you? I mean, you have to listen. You have to really listen to them. Yep. Is this something? Did you get something out of this one?
I did.
What did you notice about Zach that was different this time?
Zach. Well, I haven't listened to the old ones, but. He is one of them. Every now and again, you get somebody who's just an open book, and then will just say whatever is on his mind and whatever he's going through. And so he let it all out. Mm-hmm. He talked openly about his being on medication for depression, which he was hesitant about. So whatever you're willing to discuss, he is open to it.
Yeah, that's true. I sometimes have guests who just don't want to open up as much, or they have specific things they want me to cut out, or, there's reasons, people don't want their whole lives out in the open. And I get you want to be private, but when those people that have a voice, that have recognition, a name, celebrity status, open up, they just don't realize, we don't realize how much power that is. Mm-hmm. That's power. That's using your celebrity to help people. Now that is beyond, to me, an Oscar or winning awards and all that shit. Cause what you're doing is you're actually helping people. And I think Zach does that. So, and he deserves everything he is getting in terms of success. He's a great guy. And, I love to see him fighting the good fight. As Zach told you, or Zach was talking about all the medications, things that he does, we are not professionals. We're not licensed professionals. We just talk about our problems. And so if you do need help, you know where to get it. There's BetterHelp, which can help you with online counselors. There's
And there's also emergency hotlines if something's serious. And, you know, if you're in an emergency, don't listen to the podcast, get going with your stuff. You know what I mean? So once again, if you want to join Patreon, the Patreon family, it's patreon.com/insideofyou. I write a message to you after you join. Also sunspin.com. You can get these, our lovely CDs out. They're autographed or unsigned, but there's shirts and lunchboxes and a bunch of stuff. Go to sunspin.com. Sweet trucker hats. Look at that trucker hat. I love it. I wear it all the time. And what else? How could they subscribe to the podcast again?
YouTube.com/insideofyou with Michael Rosenbaum. At Inside of You Pod on Twitter, at Inside of You Podcast on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, I'm gonna start like a contest or something. I started it for the Sunspin. Like if you get 10 people to go to the stage that haven't gone before to see us, we'll give you a Zoom. So maybe there's something where all my listeners out there can, you know, they can get 10 new listeners or something, and then they could get something, some free merch or free something, or there's got to be a way to do that. Give them an incentive, if you will. You know what I mean? Would you guys do that? Tweet me. Let me know if that's a good idea. And also you could send messages, which I don't check regularly, but I do check. And I look at your emails, your messages, and I appreciate them. The letters are so heartfelt. Hello@insideofyou.com. Hello@insideofyoupodcast.com. That's it. Hello@insideofyoupodcast.com. Yeah, sunspin.com for all the merch and Inside of You Store. You can go to Inside of You Store online and get all these great shirts and tumblers and mugs and autographs. There's also Lex Luthor pictures and Smallville lunchboxes and shit. So there's a lot of fun stuff there. And a big shout out to all my patrons. Again, couldn't do it without you. Love what a great community we have. It's splendid. I do these YouTube lives where it's just for patrons. So it's a private link. And I just play songs and talk back and forth with them, and they're messaging me. And we have an occasional, a big Zoom for the top tiers. Every couple months, I'll do a big Zoom thing. You know, so it's hard too, because there's so many people leaving messages that you can't respond to everybody. You just can't. I mean, I would spend every day, all day on that. And I do respond, but sometimes it takes me a minute, and I'm not a fast reader, as my agent would tell you. Can you read the script? Can you just read it and see if you like it? I don't think I'm going to like it, but have you read it? No. But just read it. Read the fucking script. All right, let's read the patrons. Okay, here we go. Any voice in particular like to...
How about Freddy Krueger?
Nancy D. See, that would take too long, though.
Yeah.
Mary. Leah. I could just read them. Trisha F, Sarah V, Little Lisa, Yukiko, Jill E, Brian H, Lauren G, Nico P, Robin S, Jerry W, Robert B, Jason W, Stephen J, Kristen K, not to be confused with
Kristen Crook,
Amelia O, Allison L, Jess J, Lucas M. We got Raj C. Does Amanda listen to your girlfriend listen to the podcast ever? No, she doesn't. Joshua D, Emily S, CJP, Samantha M, Jennifer N, Jackie P, Stacy L, Carly H, Jen S, Jamal F, Janelle B, Carrie B, Tabitha 272, not to be confused with
Tabitha 273,
Ashley Ryan, Kimberly E, it's Kimberly Ewing, I believe. Mike E, Marissa
M,
N is in Nancy, it's Nani Arello, El Don Supremo, which is Dan, Jack S. One of my faves, Ramira, Beth B, Santiago M, Sarah F, Chad W, Leanne P, Ray A, Maya P, Maisha C, Maddie S, Kendrick F, Ashley E, Shannon D, Matt W, Belinda N, Kevin V, James R, Chris H, Osborne. I love Osborne. I want to see Osborne.
But he looks like a Viking.
I don't get on Zoom. Sorry, I'm too cool. Osborne.
He's busy launching flaming arrows at pie boats.
We're probably way wrong. He's like, I have no time for this. I'm a Viking. By the way, his name's probably, we're probably effing it up completely. It's probably like Asbjorn or Abajorn.
And there's an O with a line through it too.
Amy C, Dave H, Samantha S, Spider-Man,
Chase,
Sheila
G,
Ray H, Alyssa C, Tabitha T, Misha H, Deb A, Tom N, Suzanne B, Henry S, Katie F, Liliana A, Michelle K, hi Michelle, Marcus,
He wants to. Marcus, he wants to. Hannah B., Michael S., Talia M., Luke H., John S., Andrew T., Christy S., Claire M., Liz J., Laura B., Laura L., Laura L., Chad B., Rochelle E., Nathan E., Brandel D., Taylor K., Neil A., Marion E., Meg K., Janelle P., Dan N., Jennifer J., Wayne M. Those are them. You know, I noticed a lot more names. Also, thank you for buying all the Sunspin merch. So when Rob and I were boxing them up, I see all these names. We want to actually do something with the people who bought lunch boxes to make a video of them opening their video, their lunch boxes.
Little unboxings.
And make it as creative as they can. And the most creative will get like a 5-minute Zoom or something with us to as a token of our appreciation. And you got to post on all socials. So if you get a lunch box and you get it, hopefully you get in time for this contest because I think it's happening right now. But I think you'll have time. This has been a real treat. Thanks, guys, so much. We got great shows coming up. Please stay tuned. If you're here for Zach Levi, stay tuned for other guests. I think you're going to learn something. I learn something every day from you, from the guest, from Ryan, from my home in the Hollywood Hills.
Mutual Rose Boswell.
Oh, yeah. Casa de Rosenschnauz. I'm Michael. This is Ryan. We'll give a little wave to the camera. Thank you all for allowing me to be inside of you today. Thanks. Much love to you.
I just died in your arms tonight. It must have been something you said. Just died in your arms tonight.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.